rat roll call is starting now. Rats in the chat. Rats in the chat. Show yourself. Little itty bitty rats. Catering tonight, by the way, is from Stinky's Bar and Grill. Extra stinky for you and for you, especially for you. I'm Alex Clark, queen professional rat and host of Poplitics Live, where we discuss the top pop culture news of the week without the leftist propaganda. Thumbs up this video, please, and hit the subscribe button. We are live every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the foreseeable future, probably till spring when the time changes again. However, next week will be our last Poplitics Live of 2023. We are not going to have a Poplitics Live after next week until 2024, okay? Because we have America Fest and then Christmas break. So, by the way, they just announced the music lineup for AM Fest this week. Big and Rich, Low Cash, Raylan, Roseanne Barr is speaking, Rob Schneider, Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Glenn Beck, and more. It's December 16th through 19th in Phoenix. It is an all-ages conference. You can bring the entire family, even the kids. The discount code for these, by the way, RealAlexClark, AMFest.com with code RealAlexClark. So, yes. Next week is the last Poplitics Live of the year because the other one is like basically 2 days before AM Fest. We're running around like chickens with our heads cut off, getting all the edits in for all of the spillovers to drop while we're on break and all that kind of stuff. So I can't go live and prep for a live show because I got to prep and do all the other stuff before we're not going to be in office for a couple weeks. So rats in the chat, professional rats. Today on the show, there is a lot of weird stuff going on with comedian and handsome Squidward Matt Rife. So he's really been giving me the ick lately out of nowhere. I'm going to explain why. It's probably not what you're thinking. I don't think that any of my audience would have come across any of this. So I'm excited because I hope that I'm the first one to get to tell you about it. And no, I'm not talking about his controversial joke. I mean, I am going to talk about that, but just to set up, you know, why everything else is happening. So that's just like one. But mainly, I have other new things to tell you about him. I had you guys take a survey, and this is why somebody is getting a beating today. I had you guys take a survey to let me know you better, your likes, your dislikes, so that we could find out once and for all what subjects you like best on The Spillover, because this is a huge argument that everybody likes to hold over my head. And, you know, everybody's so loud when they have something negative to say. So the people that gripe and I want Spillover season one. I want it to be more like that. And there'll be like 400 comments in the Cute Servatives Facebook group bitching and moaning. All of those people, everybody took the survey. We had about 3,000 of you so far take the survey, which you can take now. If you haven't, we'll put it in the chat. But anyway, I want to go over the results of this survey, because now we have answers once and for all about who you really are. And it is not what you guys have been telling me. So that's number one. Take that survey in the chat if you have not yet, because we have one more day left to take it. And then I'll like officially share the results in the Cute Servatives Facebook group for some of the stuff. But anyway, there's also just some funny, weird things about the survey, too, that I think you guys will like. So we're going to talk about that. There is a bombshell new report about woke books and how they have been doing for publishers. And then this really is juicy. When I tell you guys, five orange juicy today. So stick around till the end, because we are going to talk about, just an hour or so ago, an ex-girlfriend of Jerry from The Golden Bachelor has revealed that there may be a dark side to America's favorite grandpa. And I read the article. And if this stuff is true, I am sick. I am sick over it if this stuff is true. And then, you know, love is a lie and I'm never dating again and all this other stuff, because I really like Jerry and I finally binged the show over Thanksgiving break. I'm all caught up. So I'm ready for the finale this week. And I am absolutely devastated if this article is true. It is not good, you guys. So we're going to talk about that. A lot of stuff on the show today. What's going on here? I'm so glad that you guys like my little phrases. I'm not, I wouldn't wouldn't say I'm mad at you, but I just, it's more like I feel vindicated from the survey. You know what I'm saying? So I have things to say because I feel like, you know, when I talk, it's like Alex is mean to us because like we're never allowed to share our opinion without her telling us we're wrong. And I'm like, well, you are wrong. You are wrong because I look at the freaking analytics every single day of everything that goes on with my shows and what you guys listen to and what you don't and blah, blah, blah. And everybody, like, you know, a select few of you like to tell me I'm wrong, but I am never wrong. That's number one. I'm never wrong. And two, the survey has vindicated me. So am I mad? People are getting a beating, but it's probably not you in the chat. It's the others. It's the unspeakable others who never show up to the chats because they're deadbeats. I mean, I'm being dramatic, you know. Now, see, they're like, wow, that's a little overboard. Look, I'm just, you know, this is just my ranting, giving flair. I love everybody. I love some of you more than others, like any mother does with her children, right? We all have favorites. Oh, okay. Let's start with the I'm getting the ick from Matt Rife because I have liked him. Like, I have been like a huge fan. Like, I've liked him on TikTok, but I'm starting to wonder if he's reached his peak. And now we're starting to see the dismantling of this man's popularity because, in my opinion, it is just it's just vanishing right through our fingertips. Matt Rife has been super in the news, and it all started with a joke in his stand-up special that really triggered people on the internet who, you know, are just offended by dark humor. Here is a clip of Matt Rife's joke that pissed everybody off.
I've only been to Baltimore one time. I ate lunch there, and the hostess who, like, seats you at the restaurant had a black eye. Full black, and it wasn't like, what happened? It was pretty obvious what happened. And we couldn't get over the fact that we're like, this is the face of the company? Like, this is who you have greeting people? And my boy who I was with was like, yeah, I feel bad for her, man. I feel like they should, you know, put her in the kitchen or something where nobody has to see her face, you know? And I was like, yeah, but I feel like if she could cook, she wouldn't have that black eye.
So that clip from Matt's stand-up special on Netflix goes viral. I defended him on Twitter because I thought that was hilarious, but I like dark humor. You know, race, sexual abuse, domestic violence, whatever. The thing about dark humor is that nothing is off limits. It's dark, okay? It's like everything you're not supposed to say, the protected groups that you're not supposed to, you know, talk about or make light of or whatever. It's like, oh my gosh, how can you joke about human trafficking? It's like horrific. Like, yes, of course it is. Like, of course it is. But look, dark humor is not for everybody. Tim Dillon is, if you've been around for a little bit, then you might know that Tim Dillon is my favorite comic. He is known for his dark shock humor, okay? I mean, he's always saying how we need to free Ghislaine from prison and stuff. Hysterical to me. But, you know, inevitably, there are people who absolutely do not find dark humor funny. And that is fine. You're wrong, but it's fine. Anyway, so I defended Matt Rife on that joke, but then some other stuff went viral this week. And it wasn't jokes. That's the thing. It was just him being him. And that's what has turned me off. Not when he's doing stand-up, because I think he's fine when he's doing stand-up. He's funny. It's like his normal persona. He's not funny unless it's like scripted on stage, in my opinion. And now I'm starting to get really cringed out by him. So I defended Matt on that. This other stuff this week goes viral. And now I'm starting to think, I think I have the ick from this guy. Not because he offends me, the opposite. I actually think that he might be too soft, too sensitive, maybe not as funny as I previously thought. So the next clip that goes viral this week is this very short clip of Matt Rife on Tana Mojo's podcast. If you don't know who Tana Mojo is, she is just like this larger than life YouTube personality. She also has a podcast where she interviews celebrities or whatever, but she is like off the wall insane. I would say 3% of my audience probably knows and likes her. Everyone else either doesn't know her, and then if you guys did know her, you wouldn't like her because she is way too like vulgar and whatever. I just know you guys. I know you guys. So see, like the survey just confirmed everything for me. Like I already knew a lot of it, but I'm just telling you so that if anyone goes and looks her up after this, you're like, ew, disgusting. I can't believe Alex listened to her. First of all, I don't listen to her, but this clip was funny. Anyway. Watch Matt Rife on Tana Mojo's podcast because it is cringe.
That's the thing. I don't really hate anybody. But I don't. Here's a very humbling experience that I've. Sorry, I guess epiphany that I've had recently. Because so many people hate me for really no reason. And it really made me realize that, like, people only hate somebody they're jealous of. And I've been guilty of hating people. And when I really sat back and thought about it, it was because I was jealous of where that person was in their life. I felt like maybe they got an opportunity that I should have gotten.
That was a really, really good, well-rounded answer. I'm trying to wrap my head around. Do you think people who hate Osama bin Laden are jealous of him?
Yeah.
She said, okay, yeah, that was really insightful. So do you think that people that hate Osama bin Laden are just jealous of him? Without hesitation, he's like, yeah. And then, you know, goes into whatever he's saying. Like, there are so many things that I got to unpack from that short clip. First of all, his whiny, you know, people only hate me because they're jealous diatribe sounds gay as hell. Are you a sorority girl or a man? First of all, because no real man is like, people just hate me because they're jealous of me. Like, what is that? That is gross. Ew. The funniest person in that clip, by the way, isn't the actual professional comedian. It was Tana freaking Mongeau. Like, her question about Osama bin Laden, people just hating him because he's jealous, that made me, the first time I saw it, laugh out loud. But he doesn't even laugh. He says, yes. He says, yes, that people who hated Osama bin Laden were just jealous of him. Were they? I mean, he had multiple wives. A sandy hole for a house. He can grow a mean beard. Maybe Matt's jealous of him being able to grow a beard. But look, the point of this just proved to me immediately. I was like, oh, my gosh, Matt Rife cannot improv. Like, and I don't get it because he seems to be fine with that in an audience setting. Like, he's good at, like, roasting, you know, people in the audience. So I don't get when he's on podcast why he can't do this. Because this, I'm going to show you, this isn't the first time that he's not able to, like, have witty banter and be funny in the moment when somebody throws a total curveball like what Tana did. Because this is where my ick begins. Tana sets him up right there to say something hilarious after that. Like, he should have said something funny. I don't know what. I'm not a professional like he is. He should have known. But he absolutely missed it. And so this all reminded me. I was like, oh, my gosh. Because I kind of wrote it off like, oh, maybe, you know, that was just like kind of awkward for him or whatever. And I was like, no. This reminded me of his recent appearance on Dave Portnoy's podcast where it got real serious and really weird when Dave Portnoy asked him, as he should, about the fact that he, frickin' Matt Rife, before he was Matt Rife, before anyone knew who he was, dated Kate Beckinsale. And he freaked out that Dave asked him. Watch how cringe this is.
I didn't realize this. How old are you?
28.
And you dated Kate Beckinsale?
Ah, hilarious. Yeah, when I was younger.
How young?
Out of respect for my girlfriend now, I'm not going to talk about exes.
Good play.
Yeah. I know. Sorry to shut that one down. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's wild to me. She's like a all-timer for me. But out of respect to the ex, we won't talk about it.
Thank you. But she's very sweet, and she's hilarious.
That counts as talking.
Damn it. Sorry, babe.
The way he goes, ha, hilarious. Like, he just comes off like a dick, does he not? He just seems so unfunny to me on other people's podcasts. Like, gives me really bad vibes. Everything about his demeanor is just so off-putting. But things get weirder. Things get even weirder this week. There's a whole nother thing. Like, that was just strange, right? Like, to me, he should, whoever his current girlfriend is, I can't remember who it is. It's some freaking influencer, lame-o model or whatever. He should have something with her like, hey, I'm always going to get asked about Kate. Like, I'm going to create the bit with you, but he should have a funny response if he gets asked about her in an interview of something to say that is funny, but still respectful to his current girlfriend or whatever. His girlfriend that he has now, like, should co-sign on that and be like, yeah, you gotta talk about that, because that is a huge thing. They dated for a while too, so that is a huge thing, and he should be able to make a couple jokes about it and then they move on. But him doing that and reacting that way was so awkward and weird. It was weird. It was like very amateur comedian type of answer to me. So things now get weirder. Some plastic surgeon on TikTok posted this video, and now I can't find the original. So maybe he deleted it because of all this drama now. So this face surgeon or whatever from Chicago posted this video. It said, me, after creating the It said, me, after creating the greatest jawline ever, ever seen just for my patient to get canceled, which many thought, oh, he's talking about Matt Rife, you know, who famously has this like cleft chin, boy wonder, handsome Squidward thing going on. And then, you know, he gets canceled. I'm singing quotes because everybody got mad about that domestic violence joke. And so no one knew for sure if this plastic surgeon was talking about Matt Rife because he didn't say I did surgery on Matt Rife and then he got canceled. You said it just said me after creating the best jawline ever and then they get canceled. So, you know, people are inferring it's about Matt, but like nobody knows for certain. But then Matt Rife freaking comments on it. He comments and he says lying about medical history is illegal, FYI. Bro, what are you even talking about? Again, with this butthurt, extremely overly sensitive persona, you're going to threaten to sue this guy over a joke when you just tried to like play it cool and say that people were being too sensitive about your domestic violence joke. Now you're like, I'm going to sue you for sharing my medical information, which he didn't share. But also, one, if this doctor actually did give Matt Rife face surgery, he didn't say it was him. So Matt Rife just outed himself by commenting that. A moron. When I first saw that, I thought the surgeon immediately, I was like, well, he's joking. You know, just because Matt is like this, like I said, he's just got this crazy jawline. So I think, you know, that's why the surgeon didn't say his name and he's making a joke like, oh, maybe I did his plastic surgery to get attention on TikTok because he's a TikTok plastic surgeon or whatever. So now Matt Rife responding to it, though, even if it is a joke, it's like, well, now it makes it seem like it could be true. So I don't know, but I kind of don't like Matt Rife anymore. I'm very annoyed by his entire vibe. I got the ick. I don't know about you. You can put a poll in the chat. Do we have the ick on Matt Rife or do we still like him? Because that's the thing. His audience is women. So also as a woman and a pop culture connoisseur, like I'd also like to know his whole, you know, thoughts on dating Kate. Like I would like to know about that, too. So it's just annoying that he wouldn't answer. It's just grossing me out. It's grossing me out. All right, now to the beating. This is the public shaming will commence for certain cuteservatives. What is this survey? Why did we do it? So, it's been a while. I feel like it's been a couple years, maybe a year and a half, 2 years since the last time that we made a survey like this, where it's just like, you know, and it's really fun. Like you guys that take it always say like, oh, these are so fun. I do these more often, actually. It's just like, how old are you? You know, people that follow me and like watch my shows and are in the cuteservatives Facebook group. How old are you? You know, what's your annual household income? What gender are you? What part of the country do you live? What other podcasts do you listen to? And then other stuff about my shows, like, you know, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? All this. It helps us like when we're thinking about the new year, what changes do we maybe need to make? Well, so we post this and a lot of it, the reason I wanted to do it is because I want to know once and for all, I'm so sick of the arguing and the criticism I get about how I'm not doing enough of certain types of subjects on the spillover. So I will say this. When the spillover first launched, which was a little over 2 years ago now, season one had like 3 true crime episodes, if I'm remembering correctly. And then it had like a couple personal stories that were like really dark and intense. Like, you know, somebody, their arms are cut off and somebody else has like 8th degree burns all over their body and all this kind of stuff because their house exploded and all this. So like it was a lot of like darkness. Oh, someone that survived a mass shooting. It was actually a lot. It was a lot of dark stories and a lot of true crime in season one. Because that's what I like. That's the kind of like podcast I enjoy listening to, or at least in that time, I would say I listen to true crime more than anything. Now it's a lot more health and wellness, whatever, which we'll get to. So like my tastes, my interests reflect that in like the types of episodes I want to do, because that's the type of content that I'm interested in. Okay. 2 years ago. So a lot of the comments I get now that we're wrapping up season 5 this month, a lot of comments that I'm getting now is like, I miss season 1. That's what I like. Well, So I was like, all right, fine. I'm going to just put this to you guys then. I'm going to try to get as many of you to take this survey as possible. So it's a really good sample size. And we're going to find out, like, if I need to go hard in the paint and do a bunch of more of these episodes, even though I have an inkling based on, you know, the download numbers and stuff that I see, I have an inkling of what the truth is, but I'm just going to, I want the proof for you. And over 2,500 people have taken this so far. So, I mean, it's a good sample size for like a survey like that. I'd like to get it a little bit higher. I mean, as high as possible. So if you haven't taken it, if we can get a couple more in the next 24 hours, I would like that. I want to reveal the results. We'll make like a fancy little one sheet and I'll post it just in the Cute Servitus Facebook group. So if you're not in that, I don't care. You miss out. You have to be in the Cute Servitus Facebook group and then you can see for yourself some of these answers like once we have another 24 hours of stuff. But I think we have a pretty good idea of how things are looking. We're going to put the link in the chat for you to take it if you haven't. So essentially, no one is allowed to be mad at me now. You can only be mad at each other because we have the proof. Here are some interesting facts about you. Almost everyone that listens to my shows or is in the Facebook group lives in the Southeast or the Midwest. And I'd think like Southeast, what's that mean? Like Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, I guess. Is that where most of you live? I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I wasn't surprised about the Midwest at all. I kind of figured that. I can always tell, you know, because I'm a Midwest girl, actually. So I'm born and raised in Indiana. So I've kind of figured 3% of you voted that you were moderate. Politically, 3%, but everyone else identifies as conservative. So that was interesting. Over 60% of you are 25 to 35 years old. Over 60%, almost all of you are 25 to 35 years old. The next biggest group of my audience is 35 to 45 years old. So it is not Gen Z. This is truly a millennial audience. My audience is almost exclusively millennial women. Like it was 1% or less was male that even took the survey. So, I mean, that just shows you I have even my Instagram following. It's almost totally women. You know, the Cute Service Facebook group. You guys always try to post stuff of like, here's my friend that's a girl who wants to date her. And I keep telling you, I don't like approving those posts. This is very annoying to me because we literally have. You guys think that I'm exaggerating. No, I'm not. I don't. I'm telling you the truth. There is like maybe 3 men in the group. The only reason they are in there, I think 2 of them might be gay. And then the other one is just behaves himself and he's nice and, you know, contributes. And so I just have left in there because when we first launched the Cute Servitus Facebook group in 2019, November of 2019, 4 years ago, we've had this group. When I first launched for like 2 weeks, I allowed anyone to join. And then I realized this is a bad idea because women don't feel as inclined to share things and we want to get personal. We want to talk about periods and bras and sex and whatever. And like nobody feels comfortable talking about that women stuff if there's guys in there. So I have left those like 3 literally only because they're well behaved and I think maybe gay. So everyone else is women. And so you guys always try to like matchmake or whatever. And I'm like, there are no men in here. It's very annoying. Anyway, truly a millennial audience, 68% of you are married. Only 30% of you are stay-at-home moms. The rest are working or you aren't moms yet. Everyone pretty much voted that they wanted the live stream to be at 7 p.m. Eastern, which I agree. I also wanted at that time, just so you know. But until the time changes again, we're stuck at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's the latest that I can do in the afternoon without keeping my team past 5 p.m. So that's the whole deal with that. I had to change it to 6. It was 7. And then I had to go to 6 when the time changed because now I'm in mountain time. So see, I'm in this stupid area of the country where like we have Pacific and one time that's super early and then I have Eastern that's super late and I'm in the middle. And so I can't be keeping people, my camera people here past 5 p.m. So that's just what we have to do in March when the time changes again, then we'll go back to 7. Okay. Half of you have been a Cute Servitive for 3 years or longer. So that was fun to see. A lot of OGs are still around. Half of you have been here for 3 years or longer. That is really, really incredible. So number one, just, I love that. Like that, I was so touched and thankful that like I have maintained so much of my audience for that long. Costi Hinn. Now, I didn't say, at first we had write in who your favorite guest ever has been, and then it was like, it was too hard to go through all the responses, you know, and all these names and stuff. I couldn't, so I was like, out of these recent guests, who was your favorite? Costi Hinn, overwhelmingly, was everyone's favorite most recent episode. As far as favorite subjects on The Spillover go, now here we are. Here we are. The big drum roll, please. The two most popular subjects, over 70% of you said that you prefer tied, almost exactly same number, parenting and health and wellness. That is what you said, over 70% of the audience. Business, music, and true crime were last. Last. Business, music, true crime, last. So never again. I don't want to hear any more. I don't want to see posts. I don't want to see anything about why doesn't she do as many as she did in season one? Because you guys skip them and you don't listen. If you listened, I would love to do more of those because I love doing them. Now, I say all of this to say I have one more true crime episode coming out this month. This is my last of the year, and it might be my last true crime episode ever. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I'm not going to spend donation dollars, because we are a nonprofit, to fly out guests and stuff that are true crime related if you guys don't listen to them. Do you understand how much of a waste of time and money that is for my team and me when you guys don't listen? And then I have to sit there and read 400 people complaining, but then I'm like, I don't even think those people that always complain about it ever listen, because it shows. It's like my numbers on the podcast will be going up, 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 and then I do a true crime episode, it drops. Because nobody listens. It's like, I'm not doing this anymore. I told you, I warned you guys. I said, if this is really what you want, then you better start listening. I've given you two, and I have one more coming out this month. And then that is it. Maybe once in a while, I mean, you guys really like Jim Clementi, but I think he's like a superstar. So it's like, I think he's an exception. But for the most part, you don't like it. You don't like it. So we're done with that. Now, some of the weird things, weird discrepancies in the survey about you that were very confusing, okay? 55% of you said you were a parent, so more than half of my audience said that you were a parent, but then 42% said that you don't have kids. Is that, I don't know, I'm not a math person, but does that add up to you? Because that seemed like that didn't add up. That is correct. So I'm just bad at math, and for me to say that doesn't seem correct. Oh, okay. All right. 3% filled out something weird. Okay, well, then I guess it does make sense. So, okay, 55% of you are parents, 42% you don't have any kids. No, it isn't right, because the question was... The second part of it, it was 55% of you said you were parents, then I said, okay, well, how many kids do you have? And then everyone said none. That didn't make any sense, right? I'm not an engineer. The other thing that really was confusing was that you said that politics, so health and wellness and parenting were rated very high. And then you know what else you rated really high is that you love topics on The Spillover that are political. You said politics, everybody rated high. And I'm going to tell you, I think you guys are liars or you are confused, because another really low category for me for episodes is anything that is overtly political. If the title or the subject matter is like overtly, this is a political topic, that also is some of my lowest listened. So that didn't make sense. So I'm like, what I think, and this is what I told my team, I said behind the scenes that I think that you guys, because I do too, I think you guys like talking politics with everybody that isn't me. So I think you're like, when I listen to podcasts, do I like political like topics? Like, yeah, like, because you listen to Ben Shapiro, you listen to Charlie Kirk, you know, obviously. But I think that you like that stuff from them. I don't think you like it from me. So that's my take. I think you guys were answering that as in like, in my life, do I enjoy talking politics? Yes, but I think you didn't think of it in terms of The Spillover. You skipped those episodes. So that wasn't right. Now, this is a little bit of a roast on you. I don't want everybody getting butthurt about this and offended, but I'm just going to call it like it is, okay? One of the weirdest discrepancies was a bunch of you said that Old Navy and TJ Maxx were your favorite stores, which in hindsight now makes a lot of sense to me because whenever I post fashion polls, you know, red carpets and stuff, you guys have no idea what you're freaking talking about. Every time I'm like, these people do not know fashion at all. So I was like, Old Navy, TJ Maxx, favorite stores. Sorry, but I guess I just can't be too mad at you whenever you vote bad in the polls now, because, you know. But this is what also is strange. Old Navy and TJ Maxx favorite stores overwhelmingly, but then this is some tea. The largest income bracket for the audience is 100 to 150K a year. So maybe, I don't know if everybody's super frugal or what, but y'all are rich, rich, or your husbands are rich, rich, and you're not hurting for money. So we got to hire you a stylist or something. Or maybe everybody's just, you know, gang, gang. We just like to take a lot of vacations. I don't know what you're doing, but that didn't add up. There was like an open-ended question box where you guys could describe me, like what you thought I was like real life, and I just wrote one down that I thought was funny that was shared with me. Somebody just described me as a little pee pee poo poo, a little sleigh. And you know what? Yes, you know. Thank you for describing me as a little pee pee poo poo, a little sleigh. That is correct. This is a question that I'd like for you to answer in the chat because I didn't understand it. An overwhelming, a really large amount of you say you've never bought merch. 75% of you have never bought merch. So I would like to know why. Is it that you don't like anything? Like you haven't liked any of the designs? And so you always look and you're like, eh, this isn't for me. Or is it the prices? Or what is it? I know the stay-at-home mom sweatshirt was a little bit more expensive. I have explained why. So forget that. But if 75% of you have never bought merch ever for any of the drops, I'm curious, is it still prices? Because I don't think that stuff has been expensive. Or is it the designs and stuff? Because I need to know that if, you know, we're not making stuff that you like. So that is like the big bombs from the survey. If you haven't taken it, I need you to take it. That's in the chat. Let me see what else you guys are saying. Holy crap, the chat's going so fast, I can't even read any of this. Okay, let me see here what you guys are saying. Yeah, everybody said thrifting too, which I'm not going to hate. I also like thrifting. I mean, I shop a lot of designer consignment. So like authenticated designer consignment. I do that a lot. I'm not hating thrifting. I think thrifting is fun, but I do think I just didn't understand having that much money and being like, my favorite store is Old Navy. Something, I guess that's the millennial in us, you know? We all got like in fourth grade, got that stupid American flag shirt on the 4th of July and none of us have moved on. So some of you are saying prices. Alejandra said, well, 100 to 150K is not rich, rich. I mean, true, but it's just not like everyone's destitute. You know what I mean? It's not like the average annual income of my audience is $45,000 a year. It's like, I mean, it's still tough. It's like, I'm sure you're still conscious of a budget and everything, but it's like, it's not horrible. Yeah, there is merch. TPUSAmerch.com. So Brianna has an interesting point. She says, I think some of the designs for merch that you do are kind of, you had to be there to enjoy. So it's like, it's too, I get what you're saying. It's too inside jokey. So you don't want to get it and wear it. Okay. Well, that could be true. We do a lot of that. So maybe you don't like inside jokes on merch. Okay. You don't like explaining inside jokes. All right, well, that's good to know. So it needs to be like a broad saying or something that like makes sense, like just conservative or something. Millennial moms, what's going on? Okay, so some of the merch is too niche. This is the feedback that I needed. Okay, so anyway, moving on from the survey, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because I have got to get to this alleged dark side to Jerry from The Golden Bachelor. But first, quickly, something funny. Book publishers post George Floyd, they've been making all of these deals for woke books, crazy woke books, and it is absolutely flopped. But like, wait, this is so beyond what I could have ever imagined how bad it is. So hold on a minute here. Wait, don't show them the answers. Wait, I'm taking a drink. Hold on. So So all of these diversity hired editors post George Floyd were like, okay, we got to make, you know, a bunch of queer memoirs and George Floyd fan fiction and essentially, you know, can't have anything by straight white males. According to the Daily Mail, these publishing houses are hemorrhaging money because of this activist woke agenda. The woke editors are giving the authors massive advances, but the books aren't selling. Including Elliot Page's memoir about going trans called Page Boy. Wait till you hear these numbers. These are insane. Okay. Woke flops include. So there's this book, this woman, Carolyn Farrell, she wrote a book called Dear Miss Metropolitan. I guess it's about black girls getting kidnapped, but nobody cares because they're black. And then after they're rescued, they realize, oh, the world is no better than even been kidnapped for 10 years because now we get out and there's a Trump award show or something like that. So it's like, oh gosh, the world, there, it's never been worse because now Trump is an award show. Can you imagine? I got rescued for this. That book, absolutely insane. The novel was acquired in a deal estimated to be worth more than $250,000. So that author got $250,000, but sold just around 3,000 copies since it was published in 2021. 3,000 books in 2 years, $250,000 advance. Then there's a woke book called Lucky Red by Claudia Cravens. It's described as a powerful feminist battle cry. It has sold only 3,500 copies despite a $500,000 advance. $500,000 sold 3,500 books. But wait, wait, wait! How did Ellen Page's trans memoir Page Boy do? She got $3 million in advance. Absolutely huge for an advance for a book. It sold 68,000 copies. A $3 million advance, only 68,000 books sold. I'm sick. I'm sick. We are seeing these diversity hires make business decisions through the lens of activism that are absolutely destroying entire industries. And this is apparent everywhere. We have seen this with Bud Light, Target, Disney, children's hospitals, right, that are getting into all this controversy because they're mutilating underage minors. And it's going now down to publishing houses. It's like the people don't care, though. Because for them, it's not about the money. It's just about indoctrinating people with their approved message. If they get the message out, nothing else matters. They decide what the message is, and everyone needs to support it and be in lockstep agreement with it. And yeah, is that fact terrifying? Yes. But the good news is not many people are buying it, right? $3 million in advance. And 68,000 copies sold. Like, there is still hope. All right. So that's some good news, just kind of crazy and funny. And I don't know if any of you happen to work in publishing, but that is very crazy. All right. So Jerry from The Bachelor, guys, I'm devastated. This is like, when I was like, oh, this is going to be something stupid, you know, somebody out of the woodwork saying like he was rude or whatever. No, it is like really horrific. Page six. So page six says Golden Bachelor Jerry Turner is a cheapskate who allegedly criticized his ex-girlfriend for gaining weight and refused to take her to his high school reunion because of it. So I just binged all of the Golden Bachelor. I'm all caught up finally. And I have loved it. I loved it. And I love him. And this new page six article is so scandalous. If it's true, I'm going to throw up. I'm going to go through this with you because there's so much that I got to open the article. It says, is his past not so golden? Golden Bachelor Jerry Turner allegedly criticized his ex-girlfriend for gaining weight and refused to take her to his high school reunion because of it. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the woman who went by Carolyn in the article to keep her anonymity recalled their alleged tumultuous romance, saying that she was shocked that her Jerry was looking for love on national television. Now that you see, when that it starts with that, with the reality star, you're like, oh, they got something to spill. They got something to spill in the show. Right. If you're watching, Jerry Turner claimed, oh, I haven't even kissed anybody since his ex-wife, Tony, died in 2017. However, this anonymous woman who's using the fake name Carolyn alleges that she and Jerry had a 3-year This is significant. This isn't 3 week, 3 month. She had a 3 year relationship with Jerry a month after his ex-wife or his now deceased wife died. I'm not saying this right. Him and this woman dated, she says, for 3 years, starting a month after when his wife died. Okay. She is 14 years younger than him. She was a staff accountant at the mental health center that he worked at as a maintenance man. This is also tea. Did we know, because I don't remember this in the show. Did they ever say like what he does for a living or whatever? Because a maintenance man at a mental health like center or hospital, that kind of sounds like podunk, hardly any money. You know what I mean? We love our blue collar workers, but is this like a hobby retirement job or is like this what he does? Because that's like a whole nother layer to him that I don't think that they've really been transparent about on The Bachelor. So I think that's important. And I need you guys to verify for me if you knew that about him or not, because I didn't know. And then my team tell me in my ears, because I can't look at the chat and the article at the same time. So tell me what they say. They have proof that they dated for 3 years. The Hollywood Reporter does. So he texted her on 2017, in September of 2017. Damn, I go to bed at night thinking of you and wake up in the morning thinking of you. The dad of two, if you remember, said something similar to fitness instructor Leslie, who, well, am I supposed to give spoilers? Can I give a spoiler? I mean, the finale happens tomorrow. Hopefully you know who the final two are. Whatever. It's something he said similar to one of the ladies that are in the final two. He, you know, on the show, he told this girl, I have to have you with my morning coffee. I have to have you when I go to bed at night. So they're saying like he says the same things or did say the same things during his 3 year relationship after his wife died to this woman as he is with girls on the show. But this isn't like you're like, OK, who cares? It gets juicier. She claims that him and her dated for only 10 months before moving in together upon his insistence in the summer of 2018. And that's when he started to show a different side of him. He allegedly told her that she would need to pay an $850 a month rent fee to cover her expenses and that they needed to split the cost of all meals except on special occasions. It's giving broke. It's giving broke. The outlet reported that at restaurants, Carolyn would have to pay her half in advance. And then when the check would come, Jerry would pay the whole tab so he could be the big man. So she was like, this guy is so scrimpy on money. And like, I didn't want to be embarrassed or whatever. And like, he needed to feel like he could afford to pay for it. So I would just go and pay for me. And then when they brought him the bill, he's like, oh, I can afford this, because he was only paying for himself. And then this is weird. He would tell her that she had to make the bed before she was allowed to sit and have breakfast with him in the morning. And then she says things took a turn for the worse in their relationship in October of 2019 when she was getting ready to join him at his high school reunion. He told her, I'm not taking you to the reunion looking like that. I guess she says she had put on 10 pounds at the time due to stress, that he referred to her body saying, you know, like, I'm not taking you to the reunion with me if you're looking like that. And that's when they called it quits. She also says that he wanted her out of his home by January 1st of 2020. And that he said, well, I'll cover the cost of the U-Haul as long as you pay expenses for the vendor. I don't know what that means, but is Jerry a cheapskate weirdo, like controlling guy? Do you think that this could be true, or do you think not that bad? Because that really weirds me out about him. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's going to trap one of these chicks to go to. Oh, and also I looked this up because, you know, I was home for Thanksgiving watching all this with my grandma. So my grandma is like in love with The Golden Bachelor. So she had us watch my mom and I to get all caught up. And I looked at where he lives. He lives like even further north than Fort Wayne, at the very top, like right corner of the state, in the absolute middle of nowhere. This town he lives in is in the middle of nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know if there's a Sephora there. So It's like, is he going to trap one of these girls to move there with him? Because that's the other thing that I brought up with my mom and my grandma as we were watching The Golden Bachelor. I was like, these are people who have a fully established life, who are getting married this late in life. They have children, they have grandchildren, like, and one of them, if they're going to get married and live together, one of them has to be willing to leave all of that behind. And his final two, and the finale is tomorrow night, his final two, one lives in New Jersey and one lives in Minnesota. So is he going to leave his family behind, who's already lost their mother, to go move to one of these states? Or is he going to say one of them has to move there? You know what I mean? So like, I already was like, ugh, that's really not good. He should have tried to marry someone from Indiana, in my opinion. What are you guys saying about this? Because I need to see. Shannon says, well, I live in Fort Wayne and that ain't all that either. Yeah, I know. That's, I mean, it's not a great place. Yeah. Okay. So one of you says, all of that sounds horrific. Someone says, well, how do you verify she's telling the truth? I mean, I don't know. You don't, but I guess she did at least show screenshots that they were texting in the timeline that she said that they dated for 3 years. She had screenshots of the text to prove, you know, this is him and this is what I'm claiming that we dated. But, you know, a 3-year relationship after his wife died is extremely significant. And I'm like, why would he have not brought that up in the show? Like, you know, him saying, yeah, like I thought I had found somebody after my wife died and it didn't work out. The fact that they have hid that in the storyline of the show tells me that maybe it's because they don't want people going and talking to this woman because it did end badly. And she has some stuff to say about him that's not going to look good. And so they were hoping no one would know that he dated this girl for 3 years. Okay, Katrin says, I don't know, but Leslie is a walking red flag. So here's my thing. Spoiler alert. Here's my thing. I do not like either of the final two for him. At least if what his persona is even true, it may not even be real. So I don't know. But every girl that I thought that's the one, that's like, she is by far the best choice he has gotten rid of. And then like now the two he's down to, I'm like, for different reasons, both of them I think are weird or suck. I think that Leslie is very emotionally immature. She, to me, gives off vibes that she's like 30 years younger than her age. Very clingy, very needy, total attachment issues. See, later in life, see how they all pop up? She was probably in daycare. No, I'm just kidding. I think she said she had a really dark childhood or something. But like, totally attachment issues with her. And then the other one is just, I'm sorry, but Teresa is just not cute. So I don't know how she made it either. She's weird. So I don't like either. I would say my very favorite was Joan. And, you know, she had to leave because her daughter had a C-section that went bad or something like that. I don't remember. So Joan left to take care of her own grown daughter because she had just had a baby or whatever and things weren't going right. So and the whole time I thought, oh, she is by far the best one. And now I'm like, well, maybe they'll make her the bachelorette or something. And then after she was gone, I liked the Washington State woman with the horses, even though it was very obvious she wasn't going to leave the state. I think that's why he got rid of her, because she wasn't going to be willing to move. So I don't know, but all of it is a disaster. And so far, I've really liked Jerry until this article. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, what if he is a total loser, weirdo guy? It's just awful. This is like, I have zero hope. You know what I mean? Just awful. So anyway, that was really juicy, I thought, to end on. And then I have one other thing I want to say. And I got to be really careful how I share this. All I will say is, in regards to the spillover this week, I just want you to know, this is all I'm going to say. Some of you maybe will pick up things in between the lines of why I'm saying this. I don't know. I'm not going to do that because I don't like confrontation. I don't like drama. But what I will say is that my guest this week on The Spillover is my favorite parenting book author of all time. I have worked to get him on The Spillover for years, since I read the book 2 years ago and posted, you know, on my stories, this is my favorite parenting book and everything. It's been like a huge project to get him here because he lives very, very far away. He lives in Hawaii. So it's like, it's hard to get people like that, you know, into, what do you call that? The main part of the United States when they're not on, you know, if they're in Alaska or Hawaii. So it's been a huge thing, ordeal to get him out here and do it. And I also want to say that, you know, because of the production quality of my show and everything, we film guests and book them way in advance and all of that. So it was filmed a few months ago and I'm very excited. And that's what I'm going to say about that. But my favorite author, and the reason that he is my favorite is because he has a take that I think on face value is going to be extremely unpopular amongst conservatives. For me, I started reading his book and I thought, what in the world? I had never thought about this way. And when he said it, it all made sense to me. And I was like, conservatives have gotten this one thing wrong for so many years now. I cannot believe we have made such a grave mistake. He is conservative and a Christian. So, you know, he agrees with us, but he's just like, this is something that we've gotten wrong. And it has, when I read his book, it completely changed my mind. It totally changed my life, the way that I hope to be a parent one day. And, you know, I have a lot of hopes. It's like different when you're actually getting to do it and try all these theories out. But I love his idea on how you should structure a family, how you should run a family, how you should do family. And I saved him on purpose for this week towards the end of the year, because I wanted to drop this episode at a time when you guys might be thinking about New Year's resolutions and things that you want to change or improve in your life in the next year. I thought this is the perfect time for you to do redos and start over and things like that. So that is this week's guest. It is by far one of my favorite episodes, interviews that I got to do this year. And maybe that's my bias because I just really loved his book. So I was super excited, but I was hype. And I just wanted to tell you that I've had this episode in the running for a really long time. And that is important for you to know from me. So I really hope you enjoy it. And then the week after that is going to be the true crime episode. And then what else is in December? Because I want to tell you and hype you up. Oh, okay. A couple huge episodes in December. One is going to be all about exposing how fragile and corrupt our food industry is. I've kind of done that with other people, but this is new. This is new. This is from a farmer, a very well-known farmer and rancher in America, which that's another thing you guys are like, get a real farmer. Well, I have a real farmer. And guess what? He agrees with everything. He agrees with everything that I've been telling you guys. So it's like, you'll see. But we're going to talk about just how we're basically on the brink of collapse. And not if we have another pandemic, but when we have another pandemic, we are all so effed if we do not learn how to grow our own food and how to get to know our local farmers and ranchers to get our meat and stuff locally from them. But specifically, he's going to tell us, he's going to drop some bombs about the corruptness of the meat industry, which I think is really juicy. And then the food system in general, whatever. The other episode that is like going to be massive this month is I'm going to be talking to a clinical psychologist. That's right, right? That's a person that can prescribe things. A clinical psychologist who is going to be talking about depression, ADHD, anxiety medication, SSRIs, and how he believes essentially ADHD, fake, depression, all of these things kind of fake. I already know people are, their minds are exploding and everybody's getting pissed off. That's why I've said this is going to be the juiciest thing. It's one of the juiciest things I've ever heard. I had to have him on. Actually, Allie Stuckey had him on. And then Allie told me, she's like, Alex, this is so you're up your alley. This is your audience would eat this up. You have to interview him also, because she did and it did really well. And I'm going to do it. So that's going to be also this month. Because again, new year, new beginning, you know, is there stuff that we don't know? So we're going to explore that conversation, which I know will be very polarizing, but I love those. I love those that challenge us and either confirm what we believe or they change what we believe. So Spillover this week, my favorite parenting author, drops tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Reminder that next week, 6 p.m. Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Wednesday is the last Poplitics Live of the year because of AM Fest and Christmas break. AMFest.com, code Real Alex Clark. Take the survey, the cute servative survey, if you haven't, about your likes and dislikes in your life and everything. And we're going to post the results, the final results in the cute servatives Facebook group tomorrow or Friday. Thumbs up this video. Subscribe. It's pop culture without the propaganda. I'm Alex Clark, and this is Poplitics.